How many of you are just saying, thinking this? I'm glad I'm in church tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing from God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's do that. Go to Galatians 5, and that's where we're going to be tonight. And actually, not counting next Tuesday, which will be a Thanksgiving-oriented message, we're going to be in Galatians 5 for a few weeks. So Galatians 5, remain seated. We'll read our verses. Yes. Good. Yeah. Good. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. We do the Lord's table twice a year generally, unless there's a special circumstance. The week before Thanksgiving, we try to be faithful to that. Can't think anything more to be thankful for than Jesus, and then before Easter, the week before Easter. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. I do not know why I'm in Revelation right now, but give me just a minute. I'm not preaching in Revelation tonight. I'm not ready for that. Okay, Galatians 5, beginning in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I'm thankful for the gospel and the doctrine, the truth of grace, that salvation is by grace, which in itself, the meaning of grace is that you can't earn it through your effort or outward exercise or works. And that's a blessing, because nobody could earn it if that was the case. If you had to earn your own salvation, then nobody would qualify. And we would be perpetually frustrated, wouldn't we? You know what you'll find, and this isn't a us versus them, so don't take me wrong with what I say. But generally speaking, as it relates to religions of the world, it's tremendously frustrating. Because you can't know that you're saved. You just got to keep working until you die, and then you'll figure it out. But it doesn't. You're going to find out the hard way that you are on the wrong path, one. And two, it doesn't have to be that way. And that's what Paul is saying here. He wants us to stand fast in the freedom. Don't get entangled in that which binds us. So let's pray. We'll talk about that tonight. Ask God for his help. Father, we need to hear from you. We need your guidance as we approach your word. And Lord, I know there's a message here that potentially could be a real life-changing truth that could change somebody's approach to Christianity really just for the rest of their life. And so I pray that you'd help us to understand it from that perspective. Do a work in us so that we could see, Lord, what it means to live a grace-filled life, please. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Insecurity is, it's fleshly. Insecurity is frustrating. And it's unfortunate that a lot of Christians live in insecurity. They're insecure in their relationship with God, insecure in their walk with God, in which really leads us to a kind of an insecurity in all real areas of our life. Insecurity is when you do not have confidence of safety. It's when you're worried. It's when you're fearful. It's when you're unable to have peace. When I was a kid, I watched a movie called, I won't tell you the name of the movie, but it was about firefighters. And it was, you know, how movies are. They're realistic at times. And for me as a kid, I shouldn't have watched this movie. I was too young to process what I was seeing. But I saw it. And it was about these firefighters, and some of them died fighting fires, and some of them were burned horribly. And then, of course, there was the plot of the movie and all of that. And you got to the end of it, and it was fine. Everything works out great, but people died in fires. And so I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep. I just knew my house was going to burn down. I was convinced that something was going to happen, and my house was going to catch on fire. Now, in our home, we had a two-story house, and I was on the top, you know, on the second floor, and there was no ladder on the outside of my window. So if our house caught on fire and I couldn't get down the stairs, I'd have to jump out the window, which is like a 20-foot drop, straight down. There's no, like, garage or anything. And I thought, well, I would rather break both of my legs than burn to death. So I wore my shoes to bed for a lot of days. And I had nightmares. Now, if you want to know what insecurity looks like, that's a picture of insecurity, going to bed with your shoes on. Insecurity is when you don't have peace. You don't have peace in your heart because you're worried about something. You're concerned about circumstances. You don't have peace. You have anxiety. When you're relying on your own strength, then you can't rest, because there are times when you know you're not strong enough. What do I mean? I mean, there are things that we face and we ask, or there's potential things that we face and we ask this question or these questions. Well, what if this happens? And we start asking, well, what if this doesn't happen? And then we answer those questions. Well, if this happens, and you fill in the blank, I won't be able to handle it. You answer your own question. If this happens, I won't be able to handle it. Or if this doesn't happen, I won't be able to handle it. That is what insecurity, that's the root of insecurity right there. Because what you're doing is you're making your security or the peace of your heart relative to your own strength, what you feel like you can handle or can't handle. And if you don't feel like you can handle it, then when you think about it, you're worried, you're stressed, you're burdened by it, and you're insecure with it. And when we are insecure, we are fleshly. I want us to get that. The believers here were influenced by the Judaizers, and what they were being influenced to do is to trust in the arm of their own flesh. Now, I want to show you something here. So stay in Galatians, or keep your finger a ribbon or something, and go to Acts 15 with me. Acts 15. Are you there? Say amen. Okay. Not everybody's there yet, so. Acts 15, we're going to look at verse 1. Okay, here's what it says. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So those are the Judaizers. What were they teaching? They were coming down from, well, it says from Judea. And what they were teaching a doctrine that said, salvation is faith in Jesus, but you have to also ascribe to the Mosaic law. You need to be circumcised. And if you don't do that, then you don't have salvation. These were the people who were coming into the church in the Galatian region and were teaching that doctrine. So when Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he wrote this book to deal with that issue. That's what this book is dealing with. And so when he says that, whenever he in this book is teaching about the false doctrine of the Judaizers, that they are ascribing to a works-based kind of salvation, that's what he's referencing. Look at chapter 3 of Galatians with me. Verse 1. You can just come back to our book, Galatians 3, verse 1. Okay, here we go. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now we know who it was, don't we? It was from Acts 15:1, those Judaizers. That's who he's talking about. Let's read on. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Look at verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now we know the answer to that question, right? Look at verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So you get saved by grace through faith, and then suddenly now you have to maintain your salvation or confirm your salvation by the works of the Mosaic law? Paul says these two don't go together. That's not how your salvation happened. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 6. He goes on in chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So he said, salvation came by faith, and it was affirmed in you by the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, this is how salvation worked. The problem is you've been deceived by the Judaizers. They had listened to the wrong people, and they started to develop this false idea about salvation, and their growth had been arrested by that. They weren't moving forward. They weren't growing anymore. In fact, they had made Paul into the enemy. We referenced that on Sunday night in chapter 4, verse 16. He had suddenly become the enemy because the teachings that they had ascribed to went against what Paul had said. What are we saying so far? We're saying that there were a group of Christians who had received the gospel, but then they were influenced by a different doctrine that wasn't right. That still happens today. There are people who get saved at Valley Avenue Baptist Church because they heard the Holy Spirit touch their heart and they knew they needed to be saved, and they got it settled. And then suddenly a different influence or voice comes along, and then they get sort of swept away into this false religion or doctrine. So what Paul is talking about here still happens today. I've seen it happen myself. So Paul exhorted them to reject the doctrine. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. And that brings us to where we are today. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So he said, stand fast. That means to stand firm. Don't be shaken or moved. Stay secure. Stay confident. That's what stand fast means. It means secure and confident. Liberty here has to do with the freedom in Christ. Liberty has to do with not being overcome with the kind of anxiety that ascribing to a religion where you're trying to work your way into a relationship creates insecurity and anxiety. He says that's not freedom. He says what that is bondage. You're entangling yourself. You're connecting yourself. You're tying, that word entangled means tying yourself to something that is putting you in bondage. Look at verse 2. Paul, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So he said the word profit. You can't have both. You can't work your way into a relationship and then have grace. Because if you're trying to work your way into a relationship, then the grace doesn't profit you that Christ offers. Look what he says in verse 3. He carries on with his reasoning. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, these are the ones who are trying to work their way into that relationship, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So it's not like you're just ascribing to this one false thing of circumcision. He says, if you think that makes you saved, if that brings you or completes your salvation, bringing you into a relationship with God, and you're ascribing to that, then Paul says, then what that does by default is it indebts you. It makes you a debtor to the whole law. It puts you under all of it. And he's already made the point that, you know, when we're under the law, then we, you know, we or we try to fulfill the law or satisfy God through, you know, a completion of the law, or working our way into a, you know, a relationship through the law. It's impossible. Look at verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. And then he said this, you are fallen from grace. Now, contemporary idea of that phrase, fallen from grace, which is incorrect, has to do with losing your salvation. But that's not what he's talking about at all. The context here is working your way into salvation and then grace, which has nothing to do with your outward works at all. Anyway. And so whenever you're trying to ascribe to the outward works to have a relationship with God, then what you have done with that is you have fallen away from the grace principle. You're not living under the freedom of grace anymore. So it's a works-based acceptance mindset that he's talking about. And I want to show you tonight that what it does is it creates insecurity in our hearts and in our lives as believers. Now, if you are doing this and you're lost and you think that you need, and by the way, religions do this. I can name a few religions, I won't, but there are religions that teach that you have faith in Jesus, but then you have to do these other ceremonies too. So it's whenever I say faith in Jesus, they say amen to that. But that's, the religion teaches that they have faith, but they also have to do this other stuff. And so Paul here is talking about, he's talking about that as a works-based process of being accepted with God. If you're lost and you're doing that, then you will not be saved. You can't be saved that way. That's not how salvation works. It's Christ alone. And that's what grace is. Grace is a gift. It cannot be earned. It can only be received. But what about if you're like the Galatians and you're saved and you ascribe to that? Because I think that's where we would fit. So we're not trying to earn our salvation by working our way into it. And if you're doing that tonight, you're not saved. No matter how much you tell yourself you're saved because of how much you do for God, you are not saved because of what you do for God. You either have it in here or you do not have it. There's no outward things that make you saved. Okay, so what about us who we have salvation, but then we have this tendency to ascribe our Christian life to a works-based acceptance? Then what does that look like? It looks like our life, watch, it's like our life trying to please God in our Christian life by working and working and working so that we can have acceptance. So we have this outward works exercise so that we can please God. But what does that do in your life? It creates frustration. You get frustrated because you can never know if you've pleased Him. You can't have confidence if your relationship with God is based on what you're trying to do for Him. So the more things you do, the closer you are to Him. But the less things you do for Him, the less you have a closeness to Him. There's no confidence there. You always feel like you need to do more. Ministry can be that way. I there's been so many times in the ministry that I've gotten so frustrated with people. Invest and love and give my life and give my heart, And then people just sort of crumple it up, throw it away. And they can just do that. And it's like doesn't even faze them. But while they're crumpling up that relationship and throwing it away, it just sort of shreds my heart, because I love them. And I'm doing that. I'm telling you how it's been with, well, probably anybody, and this is why we're talking about this tonight. It creates frustration whenever we have a works-based acceptance mentality in ministry. And I'm doing this for you, and how dare you do this to me? So it becomes, I'm doing this for you, you should do this for me. And that expectation there creates the potential for frustration, doesn't it? Why? Because if you do not do what I'm expecting you to do because of what I've done for you, then I'm frustrated. And the more I'm frustrated, the more bound I am. The more bound I am. It's not freeing. It doesn't free you whenever you are a works-based acceptance. It doesn't free you. It binds you. Those expectations put you in shackles. Because the freedom of peace in your heart is not relative to what God has done for you. It's relative to what other people do or don't do, or what you expect or what you don't expect, or the strength that you feel that you do have to handle, or the strength that you feel like you don't have to handle. Our security in our life, when it's related to works-based acceptance, then we will live a life of insecurity most of the time. Frustration, worry, and anxiety. Why do people have anxiety problems? It's because they're fleshly. What do you mean they're fleshly? I have anxiety problems, you might say. It's because you are putting your faith in the strength of your own arm rather than in the strength of Christ. And when you're putting your faith in the strength of your own arm, you are in bondage. You're not free. Because you're not letting the work happen through Christ. You're letting it happen through you. If you're strong enough, you're having a great day. If you're not strong enough and something does happen or doesn't happen, and it throws you off because you weren't ready for that, it's because you're doing it in the strength of your own arm. And that's fleshly. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are ascribing to a works-based mentality to have a relationship with God. I get it, salvation. But he's also talking to believers who are ascribing to this. And when you think that your relationship with God has to do with faith in Jesus and your works, your strong arm, you are destined to be shackled until you learn how to live in the freedom that Christ only can give you. And that's what he's talking about. So our ministry, I was illustrating it with my ministry. I have been so at times frustrated because I feel like I need to do something more. You know, Brother Tim, we've talked about this so many times. When somebody walks away and leaves, you know, and I just I can't sleep at night. And it's happened more times than I want to think about. But I can't sleep because I say things like this to myself. I should have done this, or I should have done that, or I should have done this, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said that. And I beat myself up about what I did or didn't do. And I have this stress and this worry and this anxiety because I thought it really had something to do with me. You see? Ministry in the strength of your own arm will lead you to bondage of insecurity and worry and stress. Everything. And it's from the pastor, yeah, but it's for all of us. Our marriage is the same way. And we need to handle our marriage relationships in the same way. Our parenting. Yeah. That's why it's so tiresome to serve in the flesh. We just get wore out. Can't even do anything else, you know. We're so emotionally spent because we've been so anxious and stressed and worried because we're trying to do it in our own strength, you know. How long can you do that? Not very long. I mean, you just sort of just, you're done. And what Paul is wanting us to see with this is you don't have to live your Christian life like that. You don't ever have to live like this. I mean, you can. It's frustrating. And you're going to keep going down the same, they call it the crazy cycle and when it as it relates to marriage, but it's the crazy cycle in our Christian life. Insecure and secure and insecure and secure because we're doing it in our own strength. It's burdensome to rely on the arm of your own strength to get things done. Pastor friend of mine I won't tell you where, but just went to college together, good friends, pastor, started a church, and the church was doing good. I mean, they were growing and they were reaching people and it was awesome. It was awesome to see. And I remember visiting him and thinking, he doesn't seem right. You know, you ever been around somebody and they just don't seem themselves? Of course we've done that. And you just think, something isn't right. He just had this spirit like of frustration with the ministry and with people. And it was everybody. It wasn't like, well, there's this family and they're a huge challenge. No, it was like everybody. And it was... He was frustrated with almost everybody. And I couldn't put my finger on it in the time, but looking back and then, of course, seeing this passage, it became clear that what he was doing, I don't know the details of his ministry, but it seems clear at this point that what was happening is he was serving and doing the job of being a pastor in the flesh and just got to the point where he didn't want to do it anymore. Just had no desire anymore. And he's not quit. He's not even married to anymore. He's divorced. He had several kids. Bummer. If you work in the flesh, now I'm not saying it happens the same way every time, but the feelings will be the same. Have you ever heard this, getting burned out? That's what burned out is. You're burned out because you just can't do it anymore. You know? It's because you're doing it in your strength. And you can only do that for so long, and then you will burn out. Christ made you free. You know, in Him, you can be confident as you work for Him. But if you rely on the arm of your flesh, then there'll be insecurity. I want to show you something. We're going to finish with this. Go to 2 Chronicles 32. You can lose your place in Galatians. 2 Chronicles 32. Maybe you say, Pastor, I am tired of being stressed and worried and anxious and insecure. I'm tired of it. The answer really is here. Galatians 5 has the answer, but we see it here in this passage. Now, before we read the verses in 2 Chronicles 32, let me say that Hezekiah, in the end, he did mess up. He invited the enemy in to the temple and showed them the blessing and the gold and all the Lord's treasures. And then, of course, down the road, Assyria came and took Israel captive. And so Hezekiah, he did mess up along the way. But in this instance, Hezekiah took a stand as he led Israel. And this is an uncommon, maybe we could say it that way, an uncommon way to live. He had something that is the opposite of what we've been talking about tonight. We've been talking about insecurity and why it's in our life. Hezekiah had a confidence that when the odds were overwhelming, he didn't have any trouble sleeping. Now I want to show you his spirit. Look at verse 7. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. Here's what Hezekiah said. Be strong and courageous, be not afraid, nor be dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. So Israel had been threatened. Assyria, a delegate from Syria had come. He threatened Hezekiah. You need to turn yourself over. We're going to destroy you if you don't. Hezekiah says, we don't need to worry about them. We don't need to fret about them. Look at verse 8. For with him, speaking of the Assyrians, is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. That's what you want. That's the way that we deal with the anxiety and the stress and the worries and the insecurities we have in life. Is when the threats come and we see the situations in life and we see, well, I wouldn't be able to handle this. And if this happened, then I just couldn't handle that. Or if this didn't happen, I'm not sure what I would do. I wouldn't be able to handle that. We don't look at things like that anymore. Why? Because we have the Lord. The world has the arm of the flesh. And they think that way. But we don't have to think that way. Because we have God. And with God, we have strength to do all that He's called us and all that He leads us to do. And when we rest in Him, and when we have confidence in Him, and when we trust in Him, then He'll take care of everything. He'll take care of all of it for us. We don't have to be worried and overwhelmed with stress. Do you know what we can do when we have the spirit of Hezekiah? We can do like Paul said in Galatians 5, when he said, stand fast. That's in confidence. In Christ who has made us free, we won't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Because we believe Him and we trust Him. And that's enough. I love how he said it in verse 8. Let me show this to you and we'll be done. With him is an arm of flesh, speaking of the Assyrians. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Like that was true for Israel. And that's true for us. That's true for you. If you'll stop trying to rely on the strength of the arm of your flesh and turn your heart to a trust and a reliance in Christ, then what He'll do is He'll free you from the yoke of bondage. He'll give you rest. That's what it says in the last part of verse 8. It says, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. Rest. I love that. Rest. It's like a peace in your heart. That's what we want, isn't it? We want that kind of peace. Why can't we have it then? Because we're relying on the arm of our own strength to do it. We need to stop doing that and rely on the strength of the Lord and let Him fight our battles for us. That's what it means to stand. I know we were bogged down a little bit tonight. I'm not sure why. Have a lot on my mind, I guess. But I hope that the Lord encouraged your heart tonight through this. Father, I pray for your help to not ascribe to the works of the law and the arm of our flesh, to try to get that peace by working our way to it, or having an expectation. But Lord, to have freedom in you that's available even now. Would you help us to have confidence in you and to turn away from relying in the arm of the flesh? Would you remove our anxieties, God? Would you remove our insecurities? Would you remove our worries and doubts and fears? Would you replace them with confidence in Jesus? Would you do that for us tonight? Help us to be strong in you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.